Even being able to say it. Sixth grade on down may leave now. Ancient words ever true. The first verse, something about through his words, God's heart resounding, and that is so true. Find your way to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. I've enjoyed studying this summer for these messages and then bringing them to you. It has deepened my understanding and deepened my love for God, but this week really stretched me. This is the sixth message in our series, and the title today is called Abiding in the Reality of Christ, Jesus is Lord. Like I said, this week I was stretched. Our last five messages have built up to this point, and it has been easy to preach on the love of God. It is easy to preach on salvation from God and grace from God, being righteous in Christ. It has been easy to preach on God as our Savior. But can I preach on the Lordship Christ? Can I preach on denying myself? Can I preach on taking up my own cross daily and following Jesus? Do I do these things? And I would have to honestly answer, no, I don't, not all the time. But I want to do these things. So then, can I preach on the Lordship of Christ? Yes, I can. Because of the grace of God, I can. Amen. Every week, it is by God's grace that He gives me these messages. Every week, it is by God's grace that I stand here proclaiming not my words, but the Word of God. And it is every week that by God's grace, I grow in Him, and you grow in Him. Listen, brothers and sisters, we all need to know and believe and live the hard-hitting reality of God's calling in our lives. It is real. Along with the reality of Jesus Christ being our Lord, our lives are lived through the truth of grace. We need to pursue hard after our Lord's leading in our lives, and we need to heed the warning that He gives us if we are not following Him. But we must never, ever lose our grip on grace. It is through faith, by grace, we are saved. It is by grace, through faith, that we work for God as His ambassadors. And it is by grace, through faith, that we deny ourselves and take up our crosses daily. As we go through this message today, and as you any messages you ever hear, don't forget about grace. Let's read our passage. Matthew 16, starting in verse 21. This is the Word of God. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But He turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will repay each person according to what he has done." Let's pray together. Father, you have given us these words. These are your heart on display. Father, your will on display. Father, Jesus is Lord. Father, we come to your word with open hearts. Teach us, Father. Move us, Father. Give us more faith, Father, to serve Christ. I pray that that comes out of your word today and your spirit moves us. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember what we looked at last week. Life and godliness. Life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is found in denying ourselves, taking up our crosses daily, as Luke records it, and following Jesus. Everything starts here with our walk with Jesus. We need to view all of Scripture. We need to interpret all of Scripture in the light of this truth. If you ever want to know what a passage means in the Bible, or if you ever want to know what the will of God is for you in any situation you come across in life, then relate it to this passage. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Up to this point, everything is sounding good. We've been growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior. But here is a reality check. It's time to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Are we worthy of Him? Let's get started and look at what our Lord commands of us. First, I want to set up this passage. Peter is a big part of what's going on in here again, just as last week when we saw him throw himself into the sea and swim to be with Jesus, and Jesus served breakfast. And then Jesus and Peter and John were walking, and Jesus was telling Peter, serve me, and you're going to die for me. And Peter said to Jesus, well, what about John? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, don't worry about anybody else. You follow me. And what's happening in this passage now is before that. In this passage, Jesus asked his disciples, what do people say that I am? Who am I to you? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus told them, Peter, you are blessed because God has revealed that to you. And then he went on to tell Peter that Peter was going to be the rock that he built his church on, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And that's where we pick it up in 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man. Peter goes from this high of Jesus saying, blessed are you, Peter. God has revealed this to you. I'm going to build my church on you, the rock. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. And a few moments later, Jesus is telling Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. Peter had taken his mindset off of God and put it on man. Like we looked at last week, our minds are to be on things of the Spirit and on the Spirit. Our mind are to be things on things above where Christ is. Our minds are to be on God. Our minds are not to be on earthly things. They are not to be on the things of man. Are we being an advocate for Satan? Are we being a hindrance to God and His plans and purposes with our mindsets? To have our mind set on man is to be an advocate for Satan and a hindrance to God and His plans. Don't play devil's advocate and hinder God's plans. What we are going to look at now, the rest of this passage, what we are going to look at now is in the context of mindset. I love the ESV, and if you're following along in it in the Pew Bibles, you're going to see little subheadings like Jesus foretells His death and resurrection, or take up your cross and follow Jesus. These are not the words of God. They are not part of the Bible. Neither are the chapter breaks. Neither are the verse numbers and breaks. They are only there to help us find passages. Listen, you need to ignore those things. Don't lose the flow and context of God's Word, what He is saying. I can't stress this enough. Just because a verse ends, or a chapter ends, or there's little marker subheadings in there, don't lose the context. Don't read and understand the Bible that way. Don't pause there. Keep it going. We are in the context of mindset here. Get behind me, Satan. Your mind is not on God. It is on things of man. Well then, tell me, Lord, how do I come after you? What does a mind set on God look like? Verse 24. Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If truth and mindset are what you seek, then here is the compass. What the world teaches, brothers and sisters, is 180 degrees from this truth. If you want to get healthy in your mind, if you want to get healthy in your heart, if you want to be healthy in your walk with God, if you want to go after Jesus, then in everything you do, in every decision you make, and in every circumstance of life and godliness, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Today we're going to look at this truth as a package. And then, God willing, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to take each part of it and go through it in detail. Next week, we'll look at denying ourselves. And then the following week, we'll look at taking up our cross and suffering. And then in the third week, we'll look at following Jesus. And that's supposed to be my last week. But I have one more. So we'll see how God gets that message to you. I'm going to study it through, though, because I'm excited about it. Today we won't get deep into these, and we're going to move quickly through them. The three truths that we need for now are: what is the cost of following Jesus? And then we're going to look at the warning of not following Him, and then we're going to look at the gain of following Jesus, going after Him. So what is the cost of going after Jesus? Let's read our passage again, starting in verse 24. Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." We must deny ourselves, including the losing of our lives. And the word "life" here is different than the word we looked at last week. It is the Greek word psyche. It is life. It is our soul. It is our essence. It is the word we get psychology from. We must deny ourselves and lose our lives. God must be first in everything. Everything. Jesus is Lord of our lives, and we must follow him. Life has nothing to do with us, and everything to do with him. Everything our Lord commands us to do is based on putting God first in everything. All of our possessions and all of our relationships, God must be first in every aspect of our lives. Following Jesus is about denying myself. It is not about me. Following Jesus is about denying yourselves. It is not about you. The first cost of going after Jesus is forsaking everything. And number two, not only must we deny ourselves, but we must take up our crosses daily. We must take up our crosses daily. As servants of the living God, as we work for him in this foreign and hostile land, as ambassadors of reconciliation, we will and we must suffer for his name's sake. We must endure trials, persecution, and temptations for him. We will look at this in detail in 2 weeks, God willing. But for now, cost number two for going after Jesus is enduring everything. We must forsake everything, and we must endure everything. Verse 24, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and number three, follow me. You follow me. Let me just say this. I wonder why God said it this way, spoke this way. If anyone would come after me, let him not stand on the court. If anyone would come after me, let him follow me. Couldn't we just say, whoever would follow me, just follow me? I'm not sure why God spoke this way. But I want to present you with this truth. Going after Jesus, pursuing after Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus is much, much more than words on a page or an intellectual exercise. It is a pursuit of action. Follow is active. Following Jesus is actively following him. We must actively deny ourselves, and we must actively, if not figuratively, but actively take up our crosses daily. Let's look at a couple of passages. Turn to Luke 6, 46. Make no mistake about it. To follow Jesus, we must obey Jesus. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46, this is the word of God. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus is our God. Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Lord. We need to obey what Christ tells us. If we are not obeying Jesus, our Lord, then we are not actively following him. Find your way to Mark 12. So if the Lord is telling us to do something, that we should follow, What is the principal truth? What is the greatest commandment we are to obey? Jesus was asked this very question. Remember now, we're looking at the cost of going after Jesus. Number one was we must forsake everything. Number two was we must endure everything. And now, to follow him, we must obey this command. Mark 12, starting in verse 28. And one of the scribes came up and heard him disputing with another, and seeing that he had answered him well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" We must give the Lord our God everything. We must give him all of our heart, and all of our soul, and all of our strength, and all of our mind. In order to follow Jesus, we must obey the command to love. So what are the three costs of going after Jesus? If anyone would go after Jesus, we must forsake everything, endure everything, and give him everything. God is a 100% God. That is, he wants us all in. He wants everything. More than that, he commands everything from us. If Jesus dying on the cross for you is truth, and it is truth, then nothing he commands us to follow him in is off the table. At the cross of Christ, Jesus denied himself and forsake everything he was. At the cross, he suffered, endured everything. At the cross, he obeyed the command of God the Father. And at the cross, Jesus finished his purpose and reconciled us to God. The cross of Christ was radical and extreme. Then so must our walks be radical and extreme and sold out to him. Jesus, our Lord, doesn't command us to do anything that he hasn't already done for us. So what do we have to say to these things? What do we have to say to your Lord that commands all of you? Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows our hearts better than we do. Turn to Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. Jesus is dining at a house of a ruler of Pharisees. And he has already given a couple of parables, and we're going to pick it up as he starts another one. Luke 14, starting in verse 15. This is the word of God. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread of the kingdom of God." And he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to the servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, What you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Let's pause here. Look back at verse 18, and I want to introduce yeah buts. Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. A banquet is being held. A great banquet is being held. Go out and invite these people. You are invited to a great banquet. Yeah, but I can't come. Yeah, but I have just purchased some land. I must go out and see it. Yeah, but I have just purchased 5 yoke of oxen and I must go examine them. Yeah, but I have just married and I now have a wife. I cannot come. Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows everything. As we'll see, the crowds there were great crowds. And this is not specifically stated in Scripture, but I have to believe that their hearts, as they heard this story, they were filled with yeah buts. Does your heart and your mind have yeah buts in it? Will I follow Jesus and give him everything? Yeah, but he would never ask this of me. Yeah, but what about my job? Yeah, but what about my parents? Yeah, but what about my kids? Yeah, but what about my house and my car? Yeah, but what about my time? Yeah, but what about my health and my comfort? If you have a yeah, but in you, then consider the words of Jesus as he makes it crystal clear that it costs everything to follow him. Verse 25. This is the word of God. Now great crowds accompanied him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And here's the second point, the warning. Jesus commands that we forsake everything, that we endure everything, and that we give him everything. And if we don't, we cannot be his disciple. And he's not done yet. He gives 2 more analogies and then he comes back to the warning. Verse 28. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king at war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able to, with 10,000, meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet great, a way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. God has to be first in our lives. You must be all in. You must be ready to pay the full price, and you must be ready to battle without compromise. Verse 33. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. God has to be first in everything in our lives. He is our Lord. If you have a yeah but in you, and you are not all in, if you are not sold out to Christ, then you have lost your taste. You have lost your saltiness in this world. You have lost your witness for Christ. Denying self, bearing our cross daily, and following Jesus is how we minister in this world as ambassadors of reconciliation to God. Don't lose your saltiness and become useless to God. I have a couple of yeah buts. Yeah, but I don't hate Renee. Yeah, but I don't hate my mother. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I love them dearly. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, I am to be your number one priority in your life, bar none. Amen. Then why doesn't he just say that? Why does he tell us to hate these things? Jesus leaves no doubt. Jesus removes any and all excuses. Here's what it is. By grace, through faith, I'm saved. Jesus saves me, and he becomes the Lord of my life, and he is the number one priority because God says Jesus is to be your number one priority. I have him up here. And then I get married. And my wife comes along, and I go, well, Jesus, you are my number one priority. But you know what? I love my wife very much. He starts going down. And perhaps you have kids. And you love your kids, and they're right here with your wife, and they're up here, and Jesus is going a little further down. And, well, now I have a family. I need to support my family, so I have my job. I have a house. I have cars. I'm running around, I'm busy, I'm working hard, I'm tired, so my time is up here too. Jesus, down here. Jesus says, no, you hate all of these things, and you put me on the throne of your life where I belong. I am your Lord. He is to be exalted and lifted up in our lives. He is to be glorified in our lives. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Put him back on the throne of your life where he belongs. Jesus makes it clear he is to be our Lord above everything else. What is my yeah but? What is your yeah but? Give them over to God and move on in your obedience to your Lord. If we want to abide in the reality of Christ, we must have our minds set on God. We must, by grace, through faith, eliminate our yeah buts. And follow Jesus. He is our Lord. So we've seen the cost is everything. And the warning that we have from Jesus is to renounce everything and follow him, or we cannot be his disciple. Let's look at the gain. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. And while you're getting there, I'm going to read our original passage. Just listen to it as you're finding your way there. What gain is it to renounce everything and follow Jesus? This was back in Matthew 16. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Our reward is life. Life in Christ. Life in Christ as we walk this earth, and life in Christ for all eternity. Peter asks this question in Matthew 19. Back to Peter. You gotta love Peter. What of the reward? Matthew 19, 27, this is the word of God. Then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or land for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life." I think that speaks for itself. Turn to Philippians 3. What does Paul think of all of this? Philippians chapter 3. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Pastor preached through this. Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Paul counts everything as rubbish, and I love the King James says dung. "I have lost everything and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ." What do we gain when Jesus is the Lord of our lives? What do we gain when we're denying ourselves? What do we gain when we take up our cross and follow him and suffer for his name? What do we gain? We gain Christ. And we get him forever. Turn to Joshua 24 and we'll close. It costs everything, but we gain Christ. Joshua 24:14. This is the word of God. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. Choose, make a decision, and live it by grace through faith. We need to stop playing at Christianity and start serving the living God. Abiding in Christ is abiding in Christ. It is not abiding in me, in ourselves. Life is not about me. It has nothing to do with me. And it has everything to do with Christ. We are to follow. We are to serve him. Are you willing to give up everything to be the ambassador of God, of reconciliation to him? Are you willing to battle without compromise in this foreign and hostile land for the sake of Christ? Are you worthy? If you are, then by the grace of God and in the power of God and for the glory of God. Deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I come before you. Father, I long to be all in. I long to give you everything. And I suspect many here do too. Help us do that, Father. Empower us to do that. May the words that we looked at today penetrate our very beings, Lord. We want to serve you. We want to give you everything. We want the glory of your name proclaimed. Help us, empower us, and guide us to do that, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.